everyone. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and reward your patience. Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim wa salatu wa salam ala al-ma'uth rahmatin lil alamin wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm al-thamin min shahri safar 1446 al-muwafiq li 13 من شهر أغسطس 2024. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله تعالى we have another short class. I'm very sorry for that. بإذن الله تعالى soon I'll be back to the normal life إن شاء الله. Allah reward you and your patience and grant you knowledge and sincerity. So last time, I believe the last thing we talked about was the riwaya from Sahih Muslim, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطب الناس وعليه إمامة سوداء. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made khutbah to the people and he was wearing a black turban. So that was the last hadith we talk about. And also we learned from this that it is not haram for a person to wear any other color other than the white color, although preferably it is better for a person to wear the white one, but other colors also, as long as Sharia does not prohibit them, okay as well. So the hadith for today is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, Zawj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qalat, كفنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثلاثة أثواب بيض سحولية من كرسف. She said when she was talking about the time when they put the coffin on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is the greatest musibah that happened to the Muslim Ummah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever, is affected and afflicted by a musibah and a calamity, he should always remember that the musibah that affects him by losing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will grant you relief, because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dies, when he died, the wahi stopped. You know, subhanallah, as the companions mentioned, that when he reaches Medina, when he reached Medina, Medina was so bright. You know, subhanAllah, became so bright because of his presence. And when he left this life, the companions said, Medina became dark because of his absence. So that's the Prophet sallallahu, his staying with the people is ni'mah and a blessing and protection for them. Although alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that one of his blessings, and is also a sign of a love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take first the prophet of a nation before the nation themselves. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy those nations, usually he will destroy them in the presence, in front of the eyes of that prophet, so that he'll be satisfied. You know, those prophets, they don't want this, they're looking for it, but they already know that other of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can stop it. And this is the choice of those people who are destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised not to treat us in the way he treated the nations before us. He will not collectively destroy the Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will not happen with us. But to have this part of the Ummah being touched, that part is being touched, calamity hits this one, natural disaster hit this part of the world, you know, like that. Small things, you know, I call them small things in comparison to the mass destruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had before against those nations. This Ummah will not receive this, but on the day of judgment, everyone will pay the price of what he earned here, what he did here. Whatever a person did here, whether it is good or bad, he's going to receive the jaza, you know, for this. In khayran fa khayr, wa in sharran fa sharr. If it is good, he will receive good. If it is bad, he will receive bad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this life. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah wants good for a nation, he will take the Prophet first. And then he will be the one who will take care of them. That's exactly what happened to this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, with all the enmity and the hatred and whatever they are doing, the plot, against us, we still live and survive. They are killing us and day and night. They hate, they fight. The truth has been fought by everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims and whoever, is not looking for peace on earth and also is upon the evil path. They always fight Islam and the Muslimin. This is our nature from day one. From the time the Prophet ﷺ came to this life and started his da'wah, this enmity began up to this date. And it will not stop. So a Muslim should be aware of this. Just try your best to avoid conflict and also do the right thing. Yeah, do the right thing and make sure that whatever you're doing is in line with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. And don't worry about anything. Tragedies, tests, and all of these things are going to happen, whether you like it or you don't like it. They will come, and they will come. So you shouldn't think about them. Just keep moving. Yeah, make sure that in your da'wah, in your approach, in your practices, you are using wisdom, and be a good person, and always hope good to others. Hope good to others. And use the best method for you to approach people so that you can convince them also to join the righteousness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and ease all of our affairs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. They treated him in the way they treated any other human being, with the exception of a few things which they did not do. They did not take off the cloth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they washed him in his cloth. Yeah, because this is what happens when they were thinking of what to do. All of them slept in that place. They just found themselves, khalas, they shot down, all of them, they pass. So, and they heard somebody talking to them that they shouldn't take off the cloth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They should just wash him like that. So these are the few exceptions that happens. Well, but they wash him like the way they wash anybody else. The same ghusl of janazah. Also, he received that. So they put him in a coffin. And those coffin, they put him, this is where we learn how to put a person in the coffin. So Aisha was talking about one of these things they put on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he died. She said, "Fi thalathat athwab," three pieces of cloth. They put three layers of cloth. They put in. They put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside. Bathing. Sahuliyya, ninkus. They are made from cotton, and these are fabric that came from Yemen, especially a qarya, a city, a village called Sahul. It is a village in Yemen. So they brought those kind of clothes, and they cover the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with it. So thalathat athwab, bathing, three pieces of cloth, white. Laysa fiha qamis. They don't put shirt on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wala imama, and they don't put turban on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just plain clothes. They put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside, and they cover him, and they put him in the grave. For more details on how to do all of these things, a person should go and read Kitabu al Janaiz. Sheikh Nasir has a book called Ahkam al-Janaiz. Very, very, very important and excellent book. And also, every book of fiqh has this topic. Almost all the books of hadith that concern ibadat and salah, they also talk about al-Janaiz and Ahkam al-Janaiz. A very simple thing to be mastered, and it's good for a person to go through it, because sometimes you might be in the middle of a situation where somebody dies and there is nobody who knows how to deal with their janazah, dead body. It's very simple, although we complicate it sometimes, but it's a very simple concept, inshallah. So this is how they buried the Prophet. I'm sorry, they covered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those kafan. Qala wa anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha, zawj an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qalat kharaja rasulullahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam dhat ghadatin وعليه مرط مرحل من شعر أسود. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out of his house, in the morning. He went out of the house in the morning, and then and he was wearing a cloth There's Almir, this is a cloth. He was wearing a thobe. Murahhal. Murahhal, they said, is the one that they have pictures on, pictures of Rahal. You know, the Rahal, these are like the saddles, those sitting things they put on the horse when they are riding the horse. You know, you don't usually you don't sit on the body of the horse. They put some cushions, some kind of a thing to sit on. The one on the place on the camel, they call it a rahal. You get it? This the mu'akhira or mu'akhirat al-rahal, the one that they describe the sutra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The size of that sutra is like the size of the sanad that a person is leaning to when he sit on a camel. You know, you have the small chair or the saddle, whatever you call it. They put it on the camel, and it is not flattened. You know, at the back of it there is something to lean on, although it is not big, but a small thing to lean on. That thing, you know, the size of it, this is the size of the sutra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this cloth that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing is a cloth that has a picture of those rahal, rahal ibn. So you can see pictures also exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that nobody will come and say there is no picture in the time. No, murahhal means it has pictures of those rahal, the saddles that we put on the camel. It is a very good source for those who believe that pictures are supposed to be for need and necessity. When there is a need, no problem, but just for fun, for thing a person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect himself from a very possible question on the day of judgment when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وعن المغيرة بن الشعبة. And the next hadith is the hadith narrated by Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Harizun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the bodyguards of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala kuntu ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sahib Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safar. And usually he travels with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And try to be his defender. And also goes with him fi asfari. That's why usually when he narrates a hadith, you will see that this hadith is going to talk about him with the Prophet on a journey. قال وعن المغيرة بن شعبة قال كنت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات الليلة. He said, I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة في مسيرة في مسير. So we are traveling, you know, to a place with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and other companions. He says, فقال لي. So رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, said, يا مغيرة أمعك ماء؟ Do you have water? قلت نعم. He said, يا مغيرة أمعك ماء؟ Do you have water with you? قلت نعم. He said, yes, I do have water with me. فنزل عن راحلتي. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came down from his camel. فمشى حتى تورى في سواد الليل. So he left us. He kept on going until the time he disappeared in the darkness of the night. It was night. The Prophet ﷺ left everyone. He kept on going until the time he disappeared in the darkness of the night, where we cannot see him anymore. ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَأَفْرَغْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْإِدَاوَةِ. And then he came. So I pour the water from him, from the kettle I was called. فغسل وجهه وعليه جبة من صوف. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he washed his face and he was wearing a cloth that is from wool. The suf, they say the sha'r, the hair of a sheep, the one on a goat and camel, the one on a goat and a camel, we call it sha'r. The wabar, this is the one that is related to the camel hair. The suf, usually they refer to the hair that we take from a sheep. قال فلم يستطع. So he's wearing that shirt, that kind of shirt. فلم يستطع أن يخرج ذراعيه منها. The Prophet ﷺ tried. So it was so so small. It wasn't that big. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to bring his hand, from it, trying to bring his arm, out of it. فلم يستطع. So he couldn't. حتى أخرجهما من أسفل الجبة. So what he did? So he put his hand from inside. So he brought them from down part of the floor. I guess you get what I mean, right? That's the sleeve. So he tried to bring out his hand. It doesn't work. So he just put his hand inside. Like those sometimes when you're feeling cold, you put your hand inside the cloth. So he did that so that he can just put his hand from the open, what do you call, part of the cloth, which is what do you call, at the down part of it. قال فلم يستطع أن يخرج ذراعيه منها حتى أخرجهما من أسفل الجب فغسل ذراعيه ومسح برأسه. So he was making wudu. So he washes ذراع. Okay? The ذراع. Okay? He washes the ذراع ومسح برأسه and he wiped his hair. ثم أهويت لأنزع خفيه. So Al-Mughirah ibn Shu'bah said, then I went down to remove his khuf. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Khuf, this is the kind of socks made from leather, skin of an animal. So these type of these type of socks, a person can wipe on top of them. And also by the means of qiyas, the scholars said even at least most of them, or many of them, they said you can also use the same hukum on the socks you're wearing nowadays. That's the correct view. Unless if the socks are so light in the way you can see the skin, then it is better for a person to avoid wiping on them. Although there are some scholars who say there is no difference between the socks and other socks, but most of the scholars are saying if they're so light in the way you can see the skin of that person, then it is better for a person not to wipe on them, take them off, and then wipe on and wash the leg. So this al-mas'u al-khuffain is part of our aqidah al-sunnah wal-jama'ah, because the Shia don't accept this. They accept another opinion of theirs, which is so weird, where they said the feet should be wiped, not to be washed. Majority of the scholars said, no, there are two hukum on the feet. Either wash it when there is no sock or khuf, or you can wipe on top of them when you have the sock or the shoes. I'm sorry, or the khuf. You get it? And they got this from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the Quran itself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. But it says وأرجل لا لا لا, the فتحة, then it will be washing. فاغسلوا وجوها وأيديا وامسحوا برؤوسكم, that's for the head. So washing is for the face and the hand. You get it? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وأرجلكم وأرجلكم معطوف على فاغسلوا, فاغسلوا wash. So wash your face, wash your hand, wash your feet also. That's the qira'ah that says وأرجلكم. As for the qira'ah that says وأرجلكم, there is another authentic narration that says وأرجلكم. And this one, the scholar said, it should be interpreted through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the sunnah says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wipe on top of the khuf. So they took the narration of وأرجلي, because when you say وأرجلي, it looks like it is معطوف على مسح الرأس. فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم وامسحوا برؤوسكم ب حرف الجر برؤوسي وأرجلي. So that would be معطوف على what you call حرف الجر, ومعطوف على رؤوسكم, معطوف على رؤوسكم. So وامسحوا برؤوسكم وبأرجلكم. So that means we wipe the hair and also the feet. But then the scholars said this wiping of the feet is referring to al-maswar al-khuffain, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. There was no case where the Prophet ﷺ ever wiped on top of his feet. He does that when there is khuf. When there is no khuf, he washes his feet. So we have two hukum: either washing when there is no sock or khuf, or you wipe on top of it if you qualify that. The scholars, most of the scholars said, the condition for you to be doing this is the tahara, to be wearing them on a tahara. Yeah, to be wearing them on a tahara. If you are tahir, then you can. Regardless of nature of this tahara, whether it is tahara from janaba or from haid or from nifas or the wudu, you know, the minor, you know, tahara, whatever tahara you have, as long as you are tahir, 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 then you can wipe on top of the khuf. Meaning you wore them when you are tahir. What does that mean? I make wudu right now. Make wudu. And then I wear my sock, or I wear the khuf. The next time when I lost my wudu, then I can wipe on top of the khuf. You get it? I can wipe on top of the khuf when I lost my wudu. Except if losing the wudu that a person, you know, has, it's based on janabah. It's based on janabah. Then he has to take off the khuf and wash himself, because he's going to take ghusl for the janabah. You get it? Or a person, you know, finishes the haid or nifas, and she's making ghusl. She made the ghusl. And then after the ghusl, she wore the khuf or the socks. The next time she's making wudu, she just wipe on top of them. Is that clear? Or the person who did the ghusl of janaba, you can just wipe on top. If you put the khuf after that tahara, then he can wipe on top of the khuf next time when he lost the wudu. Except if losing that wudu is based on janaba, then a person has to take off the khuf to make ghusl. Cannot make ghusl with the khuf on the feet. You get it? How many days you have for a resident, you know, a person who is not a musafir, he has 24 hours. For a non-musafir, he has 24 hours. Yawmun wa layla, a day and night. So 24 hours, basically. When does this 24 hours begin? From the time he start wiping. Not from the time he wore the khuf. It's a controversial matter, but this is the closest to the delil. From the time he start wiping on the khuf. Get it? That's wipe on the khuf. From the time he wipe on the khuf, then he start counting those 24 hours. For a musafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him 3 days, 3 nights. 3 days, 3 nights. From start counting from the time he start wiping also. The same. I guess inshallah it is clear bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. What if the khuf has some holes? Most of the scholars said you cannot wipe on top of them, but Al-Hasan al-Basri said, وَهَلْ كَانَتْ خِفَافُ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَخْرُوقًا. He says, because this man met a lot of companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, who is saying this? He said, who is that person amongst the companions whose khuf is not cut, doesn't have holes? And they all wipe on top of them. So that's why if the holes are not so big in the way the vast majority of his feet are all outside, you know, then if it is just small holes that usually happens on the sock of a person, if a person wipe on top of them, it's okay. And wiping also the top, not the bottom. Ali bin Abi Talib says, if that is ra'i in this deen of ours, then I will advise a person to wipe on top, below, not on top. But he says, we know when that is a statement from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't have a right to say anything. So it becomes one of the aqaid, you know, issues of aqidah. Why? Because of the Shia rejecting the maswara of the faith. You get it? That's why they put it in the aqidah. You read books like the Tahawiyah, you will see a Tahawi saying, وَنَرَى الْمَسْحَ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ. We also believe that mas' al khufayn is part of our Sharia. Why are they saying this? This is fiqh matter. Why did they bring it to aqidah? Because of the rejection of the Shia. Allah grant us good. So he says, فَأَهْوَيْتُ لِأَنْزِعَ خُفَّيْهِ. So I bowed down to remove his khuf. قَالَ دَعْهُمَا فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ. He said, leave them because I put them in a state of tahara wa masaha alayhima. And he wiped on top of them. In another narration, he says he was wearing jubba shamiya, a jubba that by the big cloth that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing from Sham. So it was so narrow, so tight, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't find it that much easy to deal with. وفي رواية أن هذه القصة كانت في غزوة تبوك. So in another narration, they mentioned that this event took place during the Battle of Tabuk. May Allah grant us a good and tawfiq. And this is the end of this topic, the chapter of Istihbab al-Thawb al-Abyad. And inshallah, in the next class, we will be dealing with a new chapter, Istihbab al-Qamis. The recommendation on Qamis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adam, do we have any questions in the next 5 minutes?
The Adhan is playing, so Hamad will read the questions, starting with Uzair's question on reading Surah Ali al-Imran and Surah Al-Baqarah.
Okay, that one we said on Thursday, inshallah, I will deal with it. Just give me the short questions.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Wa ahsan Allah ilayk.
Salam, Sheikh. Hayyak Allah, Sheikh Hamad.
Sheikh, we have the first question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa ahsan Allah ilaykum, Sheikhana. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, says in his Aqidah that wiping over the khuf is better than removing them and washing the feet. Is this how it is in the sunnah or it is his ijtihad? Jazakumullahu khairan.
No, that's correct. Wiping over the khuf is better than removing them and washing the feet. That's why they said the sunnah is to wipe on top of them if you have them being placed after the tahara. And if you don't have them on your feet, the sunnah is to wash your feet, not to bring the khuf and put and then wipe on them. You get it? So it's absolutely, inshallah, on the right side.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. If Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh Hassan Allah alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. Is it true that the Yemeni cloth had a blue line down it? If so, is it sunnah to make a blue line down kafan? Barakallahu fi.
I can't remember this narration. The one who was saying this, if he has any narration from the companion that says it has blue lines, please share with us. But I cannot remember that. But she just said, Bidun Suhuliyya. Unless if we say that sometimes they mention that something is abiyab because the vast majority of it is abiyab. Like when they say the Prophet was wearing red, many other scholars mention that it is not completely right. There is some other colors, but since the vast majority is red, then they just call it red. So if there is a narration that mentioned those azraq, khutut azraqa, then khalas, we just go with that, bi'idhin Allah ta'ala. But for now, I cannot remember that narration. Barakallahu feek.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Shaykh. If someone cannot remove sleeves to take wudu, can we thoroughly wet the sleeves to make wudu if there is nowhere available to remove without showing aura?
If someone
is unable to fold the sleeves to make wudu, is it permissible for this person to wet the sleeves thoroughly to make wudu because he cannot fold the sleeves because it will expose the aura?
In the first place, who is this person? It's
a woman.
A man. If it is a woman, I will prefer for her rather than going through all of these. You know, if it is so difficult for her to approach this, it's better to combine those prayers when she goes back home. If it is so difficult for her to make wudu correctly in a place, this will be a justification for her to combine those two prayers when she reaches the place where she can make wudu nicely. This is my prisoner advice to her. However, if it is not possible, then yes, she can go for that. As long as she wash it, what is called washing, then inshallah, it's fine. Bismillah. But why would she go for all of these things, making herself so wet? You know, it's better for her to just wait. When she goes back to the place where she can do everything correctly, just wait and do that in that place. As long as she will not exceed the time of the second prayer. Let's say this is Dhuhr. Yeah, if she can go back before the end of the Dhuhr time, Alhamdulillah, she just has to wait until she go to the place where she can take off her clothes and make wudu nicely. Or she knows that she will not go back before the end of Dhuhr time, but she will go back before the end of Asr time. Then she goes back to that place and combine between Asr and Dhuhr. She should make intention that she's going to combine both. Yeah, this should be a justification, inshallah. You know.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. There is a quick question. On the first tashahud, there is conflicting reports. Where does the ayah end? In essence, with or without salutations towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakumullah khairan.
Where is tashahud?
First tashahud, there are
In the
conflicting
prayer.
narrations. Does it end with the salatu salam ala nabi or without it?
I heard ayah, so I was wondering which ayah is that. The best is to do Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the best in both the Shahud, the first and the second one. The second one, you have dua, and the first one, you just end with Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, Hamad.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. There is a continuation question from the last one about the wudu. Is it permissible in such a case to make tayammum instead of wudu?
No, if she can go home, you get it. The time that she will make tayammum is when she cannot use the water. But as long as she can put the water on the place and wash her hand, then it's fine. And also, I wonder where exactly she is, because she can just go to the bathroom in the bathroom and just wash herself, make wudu inside the bathroom and come out. It's okay, halal to make. And do everything possible to make sure that yes, you exhaust and you burnt all the excuses. You burnt all the possibilities, you know, then you can go for the rukhsa. But as long as a person can do the wudu correctly, why would you go for the tayammum? Yeah, but if let's say there is no way for you to perform wudu, no way for you to perform wudu, then you just do that. The tayammum, if the time will finish before you are able to make that wudu, then you just go with the tayammum to save the time. But as I said, if it is so difficult to make wudu in a place, then a sister should just intend to combine both prayers. That would be a justification, inshallah, azawajal. Combining prayers is wrong Islamically if a person doesn't have justification, but Sharia make it part of it. If there is haraj, if you don't do, then you combine. Rasulullah, someone, he combined between two prayers. He did that to remove difficulty and haraj in the life of people. You know.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum. That was the last question.
May Allah love you, Hamad, and all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us good and tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah, and sincerity in whatever we do. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the time we have a greater moment in Firdaus al-A'la. Innahu bi kulli jamil kafil. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.